If you take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 25, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Scripture says in Matthew 25 and verse number 14, it's a parable of the kingdom of heaven. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and unto another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." The word talents is talking about money, resources. "And to them he gave different amounts of resources. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2, or other 2. They both had one had 5, he invested it in the work of the Lord, and he reaped 5 again. He reaped a double of his talents. The one who had 2 invested wisely in the work of the Lord, and he brought back other 2. The emphasis in that, you need to get this from the get-go, the emphasis of this is not how many talents they had, it's how they used what they had. And it continues, "But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest me unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord saith unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." Meaning he brought back the 1 talent he had been given. "And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent," meaning interest, "take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Father, I pray you'd bless tonight, and I pray you'd help me to be able to be a challenge and an encouragement to the people that are assembled here tonight. And Lord, that your name would be lifted up, and that we would desire to be in our own lives faithful to you, faithful stewards of all that you have given to us. Lord, I do pray that we would hear in the end the "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." God, please bless tonight. Be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, I want to bring a message of encouragement about being wise stewards of all the life that God has given to us in this present and the life that God has promised to us in eternity. God desires us to have our eyes set beyond the horizon, to look unto the hills from whence cometh our help and from where we will spend eternity with the Lord and forever and ever and ever and amen. But He also wants us to recognize that He has put us here upon this earth and He has saved us and He has changed us for a purpose. And that purpose could be summed up in being a wise steward. Now, a steward is an interesting word. It's a word that maybe in some fancy hotel has been brought down to a level of a servant, a steward over a room or over a division of a hotel or something of that nature. But the connotation really has a broader understanding, and that is that a steward is a manager. A steward is somebody who is a caretaker over other people's things. One of the most well-known in all of the Bible would be Joseph. He was a steward over all the household of Egypt. He had the authority. He even had the cloak, the garments, and the ring of the Pharaoh to make decisions on behalf of an entire nation and to prepare them for the years of famine that we learned about just a couple of weeks ago in the book of Genesis. And how God used him to be a steward, a manager, and to make up provisions for the future need of Egypt as well as the household of God. That's what stewardship is. It's managing things that don't belong to us. And God wants us to understand that in His economy, we are called, we have been born again by His Spirit, and now He has bought us from the slave market of sin, and now He owns us. We belong to Him. We are His servants. We use that term quite frequently, and it literally has the connotation of a slave. It comes from the Greek word doulos, and we're called to be God's slaves. We're called to be God's servants, but He says in the New Testament that He has not called us any longer servants, but He's called us friends. And not only friends, He's made us heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ in eternity. He's given to us something we don't deserve. But while we are here, He's likened our role and our responsibility to that of being a steward. You might say, a steward of what? You might say, how can I be a steward? I don't have any money. Being a steward is more than just money. Being a steward is really about managing the life that God has given to you that doesn't belong to you. I am not my own. I'm what? I'm bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. You, if you are in Christ tonight, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are no longer to live your life for you. You are to live your life for Him who has purchased you, for Him who has redeemed you, and you are to steward the life that He's given to you in every way that is pleasing to Him. And in that, He's given to us different gifts, different spiritual gifts that He's given to us to operate in, and He's given to us some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And here in this passage in the Gospel of Matthew, He says He's likened us unto stewards, one with 5 talents, and one with 2 talents, and one with 1 talent. And it's something very important to understand. You know, when the Scripture admonishes us not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves because it is not wise, because we can look to what other people have and think, well, I don't have as much as they do, or I don't have the abilities they have, or the abilities that she has, or whatever the case may be. God does not want us to look at other people as a standard. He wants us to acknowledge Him as giving us all things, and He wants us to be faithful stewards of that which He has given to us. You recognize in the parable of the talents that the one who had been given 5, he made 5 more talents. And God spoke to him and said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You know, the one who had two talents, he had invested those wisely in the work of the Lord, in the kingdom work, and he brought two talents more. And you know what God told him? Well, it wasn't good as the guy with five talents that made 10, but you know, you did pretty well. He didn't say that, did he? He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The issue was not about how many talents they had. The issue is that they used the talents in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. To put it in other terms, they used their life in a way that was pleasing to the Lord who bought them. And there was one with one talent. And he feared circumstances. He feared losing that talent. So he hid it in the earth. And when the Lord returned, the Lord of the manor, he said, "I didn't gain anything, but I didn't lose anything. Here's your talent back." And he didn't hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He heard, "Thou wicked and slothful servant. You didn't trust me. You didn't believe me. You didn't steward wisely the life that I have given to you, the talents that I've given to you, the resources that I've given to you." But if he had used the one, what would have his investment, his return had been one? So he who had one now has two. What do you think God's response to him would have been? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I have no doubt, because that is the essence of the parable. Now, I know that there's other things to illustrate from that, and there's other truths within the context, but tonight I just want to use it as a way to show a picture. God has gifted all of us differently. He has given us different backgrounds and different life experiences that we have come to the place where we are. Maybe different seasons of life. Another parable that talks about going in the beginning of the day and having a penny given as your wages. Another one coming in the middle of the day and later in the day. They all got a penny. They all got what they bargained for. And it was just and right. Even if their season of labor was shorter. God has called us to be wise stewards of the life that he's given. 1 Corinthians 4, the text that I read second, it says, "Let a man so account of us." This is using money language, but it's not just talking about money. "So let a man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards, managers over" what? "The mysteries of God." What are the mysteries of God? Well, some of them are things like the gospel, the church. These are the mysteries of God that are revealed in the New Testament. He says we are called to be, as ministers of Christ, we're called to be stewards of the mysteries of God. He says, "Moreover," and this is a general statement, "moreover, it is required in stewards one thing, that a man," or you, if you're a lady here, insert woman, "that a man or a woman may be found faithful." Faithful. This does not mean just full of faith, though that's what was required for the stewards who invested their talents, who invested their life. It also means somebody who is steadfast, somebody who is enduring, somebody who you can count on. Faithfulness is what God loves. He says, "Not many mighty, not many noble are called." He's called the foolish things of the wise to confound the mighty. You know what God loves to bless? Faithfulness. Faithfulness over the long haul. This is what wise stewards are called to be. Faithful. I believe wise stewardship as believers also requires us to be loving. You don't get far without love in the work of the kingdom. Can you imagine all that God calls us to do? Who He calls us to serve? The gospel He calls us to proclaim? The potential, as we looked at this morning, the potential need to sacrifice or to lay our life down for the sake of Christ, to live and be willing to die for the cause of the gospel. If it's not born of love, it won't happen. If you're a Christian because a class you took and you said, you know, I think I fall more in the line with Christians than I do with somebody else, you won't endure during the difficult times. If it's not born of love, it really won't continue. But as a wise steward, as a believer, God has called you to be filled with love, to be filled with charity. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is a text of scripture that speaks about the fact, and I quote it frequently, I read it at weddings, and you hear it time and time again, and I understand that, but it's so powerful to understand the absolute necessity and the absolute power of love and action to move the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ forward. The Bible says you'll know they're Christians by their love one toward another. It's the first and great commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second and like unto it is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Without love, you can't be a wise steward. If you're a Christian who says, I'm just not really that loving thing, you're like the steward who hides his talent in the ground and doesn't use it in the way God wants us to. Yes, to love hurts. It hurts to love, but it hurts far more to have never known love than it is to be hurt by loving. 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is love in action, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm a noisemaker, but I'm not really doing anything. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That's pretty specific. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I can even do good things. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. A wise steward must be loving, must be filled with charity. What kind of life does that produce? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. And what? But the greatest of these is charity. We need to have love as stewards of God. Love that goes into action. This is true in our marriages. This is true in our parenting. This is true in our relationship with brothers and sisters in the church. This is true in how we minister and love the people that are in the world around us. This is true in how we serve and care for our neighbors. This is true in how we bring the gospel to the othermost parts of the earth. A wise steward is to be faithful. A wise steward is to be loving. And a wise steward, thirdly, is to be loyal. Loyal. Loyalty is something that is almost unseen, unheard of in the day we live. But God's called us to be loyal. Loyal first to Christ. Loyal to one another. Loyal to His church. I think about loyalty and I think of Proverbs chapter 17. This is a hard verse. It's a great verse. It's a wonderful verse. And it's a hard verse to live out. Because we get sometimes situations where there's difficulties in all areas of life that are important. Scripture says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You say, Pastor, it doesn't say loyalty. Not the word, but that's exactly what loyalty is. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Think about your wedding vows. Sickness and in health. Poverty and in wealth. Pledging yourself to God by death alone shall separate you. What is that? It's loyalty. Ruth, demonstrating to her mother-in-law, entreat me not to leave thee. What does she say in Ruth chapter number 1? Ruth 1 and verse number 15. Verse 14 says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left off speaking unto her. Loyalty, that's what it is. And the rest of the book of Ruth is a demonstration of that loyalty. A loyalty that sacrifices, a loyalty that serves, a loyalty that is putting putting her mother-in-law before herself. Loyal. And a wise steward is not only faithful and loving and loyal, but joyful. Joyful, and I would add the word thankful. Two verses that come to mind. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, which tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. A wise steward who is filled with faithfulness and love and loyalty is going to be a man or a woman who has the joy of the Lord in their life. They can't help but have that. And we're stewards of that joy. Think about the Psalms and how many times it speaks about joy. That our joy may be full. We're called to be a joyful people. As stewards of God. It doesn't mean that everything is easy. But God's joy, something higher than our circumstance in us, is something He's given to us, and we are the stewards of how that joy is made manifest in our lives. You know that all of us sometimes wake up and we wake up and we choose to make it a bad day? You know what we're doing? We're choosing to not be wise stewards of the life God's given to us. Bad circumstances have come. You just don't understand. Pastor, we're having difficulties. Doesn't mean you can't have joy. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was laid before Him. It doesn't mean you have to have a bad spirit because things aren't going great. No, ultimately you have to rise above your circumstances and recognize, you know what? God has redeemed me. God has called me to be a steward of this life that is His. It's not even mine. Who am I not to be joyful with the goodness that God has given to me? How is it that you can read or hear about martyrs of the past who singing unto the Lord, burning at the stake, praising God, joyfully proclaiming the truth of His Word? How? The joy of the Lord filled them. And I believe that joy manifests itself frequently in a spirit of thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 simply says, in everything give thanks. Why? You want to know what the will of God is for your life? How many of you have ever asked that question? I just want to know what the will of God is for my life. Well, let me help you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God that you would be thankful. You say, well, how can I be thankful right now? Because you have the Lord. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning, you know, somebody like Brother LaRoe. He was thankful. No. Yes, but no. It's the will of God concerning you and me. It calls us to be thankful. This is a charge we all need.